This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
That was Kevin Stefanski. He's the head coach of your Cleveland Browns. He was talking about voluntary workouts when he was asked about Myles Garrett and why Myles Garrett isn't in Berea, Ohio. Myles Garrett is in Tokyo, Japan. And whether or not people are mad about that, I am not.
And is he dating that snowboarder?
I have no idea. I'd ask Mitch who it was. I forgot.
She's got, okay,
that she was a snowboarder. I
remember
I didn't know her.
A lot of the athletes, like during the Olympics, they're to the forefront because they get marketed so well during that month and then gone and forgotten. I had forgotten about that girl. And then I looked her up on Instagram and I'm like, she's enormous.
What's
she's
her
a
name?
Huge
Chloe
following.
Kim.
Yeah.
Chloe Kim. There you go. Maybe Mary Kay knows. Mary Kay joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Can you confirm or deny that Myles Garrett and Chloe Kim are dating? Mary Kay, go.
Well, I don't know if they're dating, but they appeared on the red carpet together at the Anime Awards in Tokyo. So I don't know if they're friends or they're dating or what their relationship is, but they certainly know each other.
So that's why he's in Tokyo for the Anime Awards.
Well, he might be in Tokyo partly for the Anime Awards, but he also has a very deep affinity for Japan. And this is probably the third or fourth time he's actually been to Japan. He loves it there. And in his Instagram story, he was saying that he's looking for a place there. So I do think that that's just something he's going to do probably almost every year.
Really? I didn't know he was. I had no idea he was what they call Japanophiles or something like that. Or the people who like Japan.
Talking about an expat
I had
here?
No idea.
Yeah, he absolutely loves it there. And he's definitely feels akin to the culture there. He loves it. He embraces it. And so, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we see more of him in Japan.
We don't have enough good sushi here, especially at 3 a.m.
Oh, my God, damn it.
I told you. And, you know, the thing is.
Well, you know, 3 a.m. there is 5 p.m. here.
That's true. So it's 5 p.m. sushi.
I can't believe you ended up being right in the end.
Mary Kay, I do wonder when it comes to this, because this show in particular has never made a big deal out of who shows up to the voluntary OTAs. However, after the comments were made by Jimmy Haslam at the owners' meetings, I believe he spoke those comments to you, did he not, Mary Kay, down in Florida, about finding, you know, that leadership, finding guys who can step up, and now Myles, after this contract, is certainly someone that he was hoping would fill that vacuum. Do leaders have to be at these kind of activities?
Well, first of all, that was a small group of us. The beat writers that cover the meetings always sit with Jimmy and Dee Haslam for probably close to an hour-long interview in at the meetings wherever they're being held. So, yes, that was during that interview where he challenged Myles to step up his leadership efforts this year. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean that they expect him to be at OTAs or that they want him to be at OTAs. Remember, these are absolutely voluntary, and I know that's, you know, some people might say that's in name only. But when you're dealing with Myles Garrett, there really, truly, probably are a little bit of a different set of rules for a superstar like that. A generational player who has established himself at least in one season as the best defensive player in the NFL, a player who will be going on to the Hall of Fame. And sometimes you do have a little bit of a different set of rules for a guy like that. It's just the way that it is. And I remember back when Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells were coaching Lawrence Taylor, and he would be, you know, late to meetings or whatever. And Bill was told that, you know, that it's LT. And okay, if he's not there yet, go ahead and start the meeting. And that's just the way that it was with them. And there might just be the slightest little bit of that with Myles. But again, these are voluntary. So no one can hold this against him in any way, shape, or form.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us. Just one other OTA note, because I noticed Minnesota, Kevin Stefanski's old team, they had perfect attendance. We did see Deontay Johnson, the new Browns wide receiver, maybe on his last life in his NFL journey, potentially. He was not there yesterday. That kind of came as a surprise.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised by that, too, but I don't know why he wasn't there. And at these OTAs, sometimes these guys are in and out. Maybe they're there for two of the 3 days out of the week, and they had some kind of an obligation or something like that for the other day. So probably a little unfortunate for Deontay that the day he missed this week, if he's only missing one, was the day that was open to the media. Maybe he's there today, and we might know if we look at the photos. Maybe we'll see him. But I don't know what the deal is there. I've been trying to figure out what it is. But certainly, if you're Deontay Johnson, you want to be at every single thing that you possibly can. You want to sit in the front row in the meetings. You want to be taking notes. You want to be picking the brains of other veterans on the team. And you just want to be on your absolute best behavior to make this team and reestablish yourself in the NFL.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here. So, I stopped this all short earlier because I didn't hear anybody give a reason, and I didn't want to go popping off about Deontay Johnson and find out there was a family emergency or something like that. So he just wasn't, confirming, he just wasn't there yesterday.
Well, he wasn't, but he has been there for other things.
Because okay.
I have seen him in photos at the off-season program. And I had heard early on, and I wrote early on, that he was attending the off-season program. So he might be one of those guys that's been in and out a little bit, and sometimes guys will let the team know, hey, I just can't be there on this particular day. And once again, this is the time. If they have to miss a day or two, this is the time to do it, because you can't do that for mandatory minicamp. You can't do that for training camp. And once again, it's collectively bargained that they don't have to be at these.
Do you like a 4QB race? Lyman and I got into a dust up a little bit earlier about it, because Lyman's saying it's got to get down to three as quickly as possible. And I go, no, leave it at four. They're all competitive in some fashion. I don't care. It's still a test of the coaching staff and how they can develop and how they can prepare guys and how they can do through all this. I want to see it all. I want to see the test of the coaching staff and obviously the test of the quarterbacks.
Well, it was never really intended to be a four-way quarterback competition until they got to the fifth round of the draft and traded up for Shedeur Sanders. It was always going to be more of a three-way competition until that point. So that just extended it. And when that happened, then they really did have to go to more of the two-spotting, which means that they're running these concurrent drills on both fields in 7-on-7. So it gets a little bit complicated, but I don't mind it for now. But I do really, truly believe that they have to weed it out as fast as they possibly can, because they do not have time to try to figure out who is going to be developing that chemistry and that camaraderie with the starting cast. They cannot do that. They have to hit the ground running. The early part of their schedule is absolutely grueling, and they have to be ready to play.
Mary Kay, if you could, and I know it was tough. They were operating two different football setups yesterday concurrently to be able to get the most out of everybody involved. So were you able to break down, maybe even power rank, the arm talent from the quarterbacks yesterday?
Well, again, not really, because you kind of had to divide what you were watching. And I mostly watched Kenny and Joe. I stayed on the field with Kenny and Joe when the rookies were on the other field, because I just feel like the real starting competition is probably going to come down to those two. Now, I could be wrong about that, but I just wanted to see what those guys were able to do, especially because we had just watched all of rookie camp recently, and I watched a whole lot of Shedeur and Dylan, and I wanted to see what Kenny and Joe were kind of up to. But here's the thing to remember. If you're going to be looking at stats and the breakdown of things online, you have to be careful about numbers that you're looking at, because Shedeur Sanders, and this is just a fact, he did not take any team reps yesterday. He did not take one team rep yesterday. So when they went to 11-on-11s, he did not get those reps. Those reps went to the other three quarterbacks. So you just really have to take with a grain of salt when you're seeing breakdowns and numbers. Now, the way that I wrote my story is that I figured people wanted to know what Shador was up to, and he was basically the fourth team quarterback yesterday, which I've been saying all along that he would do that, that they would have Joe and Shador as 3 and 4 or 4 and 3. And that's kind of the way that it's going to go. But that doesn't mean that these guys can't change it. It's up to them to flip the script. Shador could come back by next week and we could see him in 11 on 11s when it's open again next Wednesday. But I thought the important thing to note yesterday is they are starting him out basically as the fourth team quarterback.
I'm a little surprised just because the media was going to be there yesterday that they wouldn't put Shador in the team drills. Do you think that was by design? Do you think they did this independently? Like, basically, they don't care that the media wasn't really there. They were going to do what they plotted out to do to begin with.
It's a great question because they may have wanted to pump the brakes on Shador mania a little bit and let the world know that, hey, yes, we are starting him at number 4, and he's going to have to climb his way up over the other 3 quarterbacks if he wants to win this starting job. Or maybe that's just the way it is right now, and they're sticking with their plan. So I did think it was a little bit curious or interesting that he didn't take any of the 11 on 11s when we were out there. It wasn't as long of a practice as I thought it would be. It was only about 70 minutes. So they had 2 team periods, 2 11 on 11s. And once again, it is hard to get everybody all the reps that they need in those 11 on 11s. And that's why they're doing the 2 spotting with the 7 on 7s, because you can do so many more of those. But I don't know if it was by design, if there was a method to their madness, but it stood out like a sore thumb to me that Shador did not take any of those 11 on 11s.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. Yeah, I know what they're trying to do. I support that. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. But they're going to have to weather the storm because I don't think he's going to start the season as QB1. But if they go out there and they play decently and they win a couple of games, I know it's a tough start to the year, then everybody will be quiet. If they go out there and they get boat raced like they did last year against Dallas, like I think the heat, if he's on the active roster, and I assume he will be, the heat's immediately going to be turned up by the national media, by fans elsewhere. Because, Mary Kay, I think if you look around the league, and I don't think you'll disagree with this, clearly is a big story here. But, I mean, other than Aaron Rodgers, I'm not seeing a whole lot of stuff in the NFL other than, okay, Aaron Rodgers and then Shador Sanders and how high he can go up within the Browns organization starting 4th on their depth chart.
Well, he definitely moves the needle. There's no question about mm-hmm. that. And the national media, they are clamoring for Shador news, and they are really on board with him, probably really challenging for this starting job, it seems to me. And so I think that's where, if some of the national media would come to town, I think that they would see that it's going to be a long battle for him, a big steep climb for him to get to the top of that depth chart right now. And that's just reality. Everyone has to remember they passed on him 6 times for a reason. They were prepared for him not to be on this football team, fully prepared for him to be somewhere else. So for him to go from 4 to 1, That's a tall, tall order. I personally would be surprised if it happens that way. I actually think that with the way the schedule starts out, that they would be best served by starting one of the veterans. So it's going to be a long way up to the top for him. But the other thing to remember here is that there were not many first-round quarterbacks to talk about. There were not many quarterbacks in this class to talk about at all. So he definitely is someone that is claiming all of the attention, and it doesn't hurt his case that he comes in as a celebrity, basically.
All right, Mary Kay, just a final note. I'm not sure you heard the story, but because you also live in a posh waterfront community, very exclusive.
Congratulations to you both on all your success.
Have you ever been conned by street hustlers? And by that I mean kids walking up and down offering to do work in exchange for money.
No, actually, I've wished that somebody would knock on my door and ask if they could shovel my snow sometimes, but No, I really haven't. Have you had that experience?
Yesterday, Mary Kay, to power wash, to pressure wash my garbage can. Child came up to me, $15. I only had 20. No change, so it cost me 20 bucks.
It's a shame, Mary Kay, we don't live closer. I'd have Axel come over and do your driveway for free.
Oh, well, that would be great.
Yeah, I know. I can't do it because we don't live close to each other. I live in the borough. I have offered Bernie several times. He basically lives down the road. I told him, I go, you ever need anything taken care of, I'll put Axel to work for you right now on the farm.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's very kind of you.
Yeah, your husband, you guys ever want to move out to the borough? I will make sure it's taken care of.
All right, I'll let you know.
Offers
you'll be the first to know.
On the table. Mary Kay, thank you so much for the time. All the best.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Mary Kay Cabin on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So they are pumping the brakes a little bit on Shedeur Sanders. You over there, I mean, you yesterday were like, I can't believe this is a story in the first place. I think you're...
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games, offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nuts.
Mayor, how are you today? Great to talk to you.
Hey, how are you? Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us, Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Ed Orcutt, the mayor of Brook Park, joining us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Are you as surprised as we are that this has become such a hot topic, that the idea of going to Brook Park isn't sitting well with so many people, Mayor? And on the other hand, it is sitting well with an awful lot of people. I'm stunned that it's become such a debate.
You know, I know a little bit more than the rest of the folks out there, and behind the scenes, when you know that there is no solution for the downtown stadium, and you know the time clock is on, and we've got to get moving as a region to take care of a great asset, which is the Cleveland Browns. So I live within my own perception. I show up to work every single day. I learn of different projects. There's some good projects, there's some that aren't so good. This just happens to be a fantastic project that we're excited to be a part of. And this is going to be great, not just for the city of Brook Park. It's going to be great for the whole region. We're going to completely grow from this. It's going to have more events, and it's going to be the best NFL stadium out there.
Mayor, what's the feedback you're getting from the citizens of Brook Park? What's the feedback? I'll leave it at that.
Majority all positive from the beginning. Very excited. You know, the city of Brook Park has been a great city. Ford Motor Company came here in the 1950s and built three different plants where they were producing nearly 800,000 motors a year. They still continue to do that. Obviously, with automation, they've downsized. And there's 208 acres that we started working with in 2021. Now we're down to 176 acres, and the way we look at it as a city is this. This is another boom for us. We had a boom in the 50s and 60s, which we call the Wonder Years for Brook Park, And then obviously as the global recession hit in 2008 and through 2012, we saw job losses in Brook Park. So we're a strong city. We've made it through for the last 12 years, 13 years, and now we're ready for that second boom. And this is going to be the greatest project the region has ever seen. And we're excited to be a part of it. The folks that were kind of on the fence, power of education. As we talk to them about that and we explain, listen, this isn't turning our city upside down. It's not going to be 70,000 people every single day. We have an opportunity out of 365 days to have 20, hopefully 25 major events a year that, yes, we will be having a lot of visitors in our town, but we'll manage it. And we've been working on this since day one. For over 2 years, the city of Brook Park has put in their capital budgets different components that will help us manage the Cleveland Browns being in Brook Park. And some of those examples are our police department. We've invested a lot with our police and our fire department. And, you know, when it comes down to the equipment, it's not cheap, but we prioritize, put earmarks and appropriations in the proper place to be able to host an NFL team.
Ed Orcutt joining us, the mayor of Brook Park. Ed, with everything that the Haslams want to put out there, not just the stadium, how vital do you think that is in their mind to the project they want to build? How vital is it to the city of Brook Park to have the other stuff that they'd like to build along with the stadium?
To have all of our land developed is important, and obviously we have a business that we have to run as a city, and we want to make sure it's the right type of businesses, apartments, hotels, for us to generate revenue. So it's very important. And just to remind everybody, I think sometimes we get clouded with, you know, some bureaucratic stuff that goes around, and you watch different news agencies and you see different stories. We have a private investment of $2 billion, that's with a B, that is coming to Northeast Ohio. We should be welcoming this. And fortunately, I have had the opportunity to get very close and work with the front office with the Cleveland Browns and the Haslam Sports Group, and they're good people. Dee and Jimmy are wonderful people. They have a great family. They have great children. They have great grandchildren. This is something special that we should be welcoming, and I'll just tell Northeast Ohio, to have this type of money and private investment in there is extremely rare, and it's an exceptional, positive project. And please just ignore the negative noise and move forward with welcoming what could be the greatest thing to happen to Northeast Ohio.
Mayor, how many, I'm just looking for a little Brook Park history, like how many jobs do you think Brook Park lost when Ford downsized? And then how many jobs do you think that the new dome would create?
Well, we certainly can't talk publicly about tax revenue, mm-hmm. but I'll tell you that we lost approximately 14,000 jobs. We went from 16,000 to under 2,000.
And that's 14,000 jobs that were lost in the county as well, right? I mean, that's, you're still in Cuyahoga County, and I'm wondering your feelings towards the county, because the county is your opponent in this, which seems weird because you are a member of Cuyahoga County.
Again, I'm living in the perception of what I can control. Mm-hmm. I see this as nothing as a positive. Currently, I'm driving to Columbus, Ohio right now to go meet with the different senators that I have scheduled meetings with, to explain what a wonderful economic development project this is for the region and how we can redevelop 176 acres. And part of that discussion will be the loss of over 14,000 jobs.
Ed Orcutt joining us. He's the mayor of Brook Park. How did this thing get started, Ed, as far as that land and the Browns?
Well, from what I understand, they have reached out to Ford somewhere around 2017. Unbeknown to me, I heard on 92.3 The Fan on March 2nd, 2023, Jimmy Haslam talking about how we have to get started with some type of a project in renovating the existing stadium or looking into building a new stadium. At that point is when I reached out to the developer and asked if this was an option.
Oh, did we lose him? Mayor, are you still there? Mayor, go ahead. Sorry. You said you reached out to the developer. That was the last thing we heard you say.
I apologize. I'm probably hitting some dead zones on 71 southbound here.
Gotcha.
We reached out to the developers and asked if this could be an option for development. Obviously, we thought maybe this is, you know, something that could generate some revenue for our city. So we reached out to them. Within a few weeks, I had a meeting with Dee and Jimmy Haslam. Very, very good meeting. It was a great interview from Jimmy. I think he asked me 1,000 questions in 20 minutes. Huh. And from there, you know, we both thought that option A should be staying in Cleveland. Me as a fan, I thought that, but I also wanted to be a part of maybe there was a need for option B. Nothing wrong with that. And then as we continue to work on this and talk about it, at least from my opinion, it didn't seem like there was any viable solution to the downtown state. At least not to my knowledge.
How long do you think it would take to have this thing up and running? Obviously, the lease expires 2028. How long of a project do you think the construction would be, Mayor? And then after the stadium is up, how long for the next phase?
So what we look to do is having it open all at once, the phase one and our build out and the stadium. From now to the time that happens will be obviously before kickoff in 2029. We have to get a shovel in the ground in Q1 of 2026, and we're looking at a little bit over 3 years to build this.
Chris, I'm just one of the other things. I'm sorry.
I'm Ed.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, we had a Chris that would just walk by the window. Sorry about that.
Okay.
So the other part of this, I think that some of the folks are wondering about, how does that work with the airport next door? They're on your border. There's a lot of people that are like, well, hey, if I've got to fly out on a Sunday, you know, what your relationship with Hopkins and the city of Brook Park?
So what we have to do is we have to be cognizant of, you know, the people that live in Brook Park, the people that are traveling to the airport. You have to think A to Z, and where do you start? You have to start on your very worst or your worst situation. Thursday night football, Monday night football, or a weekday concert. That's where we have to start. And then we have to figure that, you know, most people are still going to work till 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and there's going to be a mad rush here. That's what you have to start with, the worst case scenario, and build around it. We are working right now, and I'm going to be careful with the details. Mm-hmm. We are working right now with the state for track funding. And there are different projects that we will do in and around Interstate 71 Snow Road just to be able to make it more convenient for those traveling. The one thing that we do have in Brook Park is great bones. We've got good infrastructure bones with 480 to the north of the dome. We have the RTA rail station, which is in Brook Park. We have a train station there. We also have Interstate 71 to the east of that property. We have Snow Road and the Turnpike to the south. And then to the west, we have Route 237. So we're thinking of everything from A to Z, message boards, whatever we can do to make it convenient. Most people get off, if they're traveling north or southbound, onto Snow Road to go to the airport. When we've actually timed it out, it's just as equal distance and time to, if you're traveling northbound on 71, you take 480 west, you know, 71 north to 480 west to 237 south, and you're not going to be anywhere near the stadium or interruption there.
Hmm. Ed Orcutt joining us. He's the mayor of Brook Park. Andy and I have talked about a dome facility for our region for a long time, Mayor. And if it's downtown, okay, we get it. The Haslams want more than just a stadium. The development in Brook Park sounds like something that they would want to do as opposed to maybe trying to put that in downtown Cleveland. And I would guess that that's a huge part of the appeal of what they see about the land in Brook Park. And based on what you just said, access to that area from so many different sources, you know, whether it be the RTA or the highways like crazy. If you're going to build a development and you can have people coming from all over the place, in addition to the stadium, I mean, that sounds like a win-win for them and also a win for you and the region. I have a hard time thinking that that's not a perfect ideal spot for what it is they want in addition to the stadium.
I couldn't agree anymore. If you look at the area and you look at the property and you know it, you can see that there's an RTA station right there to the north, right on Brook Park Road. That leads right to the station that's at the airport. The railroad tracks between the two run right along the side of where the dome will be. Not going to speak for the RTA. I think it would make a wonderful area for at least a stop where you can get picked up, dropped off. I think we increase the fan experience in Brook Park. I'll use Shaker Heights as an example. You get on RTA, you leave Shaker Heights, you can be in Brook Park. No time, come and enjoy a game or a concert, have dinner, get back on that train, and be back home. The fan experience will be so much better than tailgating and walking, you know, a mile or two or even more. I mean, right now, parking doesn't seem to be that convenient downtown versus what we plan to have in Brook Park. If you want to drive there, we're looking to have, you know, somewhere near 10, 14,000 parking spots right around the stadium itself. You tailgate, you walk in the stadium, you go enjoy yourself. You're not walking forever.
Mayor, last question. What do you want Browns fans to know?
I want Browns fans to know that it's okay to look into something different. You know, sometimes we get nervous and say, I'm just used to the same old, same old. And I am that way a little bit myself, but we all have to look into something new and special for our region. Minnesota, Indiana, and Michigan are reaping the benefits from a year-round facility, and it's time for Ohio to be able to bring that Super Bowl here. And I'm going to be one of the people that are going to be fighting for this positive project, and I'm going to be ignoring all the noise, and I'll just tell them, go Browns.
Mayor, thank you for your time. Please drive safe down to Columbus, and resolution probably on this thing by, June 30th is the, when's the vote? It's June for the state.
Yes. June 30th is our big day.
June 30th is a big day. Mayor, best of luck. We do appreciate your time. And again, please drive safely.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The great John Fanta of College Basketball and Fox and More joins us now. What's up, buddy?
What is happening, Mr. Wilson? Thank you so much. It's great to be with you. A lot happening right now. Hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend. I saw you were grilling.
I was grilling and I was day drunk yesterday. Didn't even intend to, buddy boy. But man, it was hot outside. The beverages were flowing, and by about 5 o'clock, I sat down in a chair and I was like, "Ooh, I think we."
What's your beverage of choice?
Oh, this weekend I went heavy on the Coors Banquet and Dos Equis.
Wow,
John, he's been on a Coors Banquet run, so it's continued.
6 months.
It's continued on.
Man, that is how you set the tone to summertime. That is big time. I'm going to share with you guys. Not often, but if I were to have a choice, I might be old school in this. I'm not sure, but I like a Rolling Rock in the green glass bottle.
So that's nice. But John, now you have a kid, so there goes your drinking. That's where I'm at in life now. Yeah. I've had like 3 drinks in 2.5 years now, John.
Wow.
Unless you're committed. Maybe you're more committed than I am. But I never.
You got a word for that, by the way.
I couldn't.
Yeah, I don't think it's commitment.
We got meetings for that, too. Because you don't want to deal with the hangover the next day. You can't possibly do it.
Well, you can't be a lightweight, too. You can't have one pop. Just to put you at ease a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, maybe one. But at that point, what are we doing here, John? I'd rather have a Diet Coke.
Until probably, as the pandemic, I was pretty good until the pandemic of like, I didn't want the girls to see me drinking or whatever. And then the pandemic happened and I'm like, I will be having a cocktail or two a day. Like, you're just going to have to, if I'm going to have to sit here and homeschool you, you're going to get, we're going to normalize some things
You're going to learn some things about the real world with us in our houses right now. I think we were all resorting to whatever we possibly could.
You're going
to
learn how dad gets by dealing in a house of four beautiful, loving women, of course.
Here's how dad gets through Cleveland sports, everybody.
Well, let's start there. I didn't love the Sunday lineup against Tarik Skubal. It felt like punting on an important divisional matchup. JP didn't have a problem with it. Where do you stand on it?
Well, the Guardians have one glaring problem, and they do have some other things. I would say it this way. They have played far from their best baseball, and they're 29-24 and occupying the top AL wild card spot. They're evened up with Minnesota, so you're either 1A or 1B, and there's a lot of summer left. I mean, I think what's interesting is 11 American League teams right now have at least a 23% chance to make the playoffs. In other words, there's still so much to be figured out, and a lot of teams have kind of hovered around things in that wild card. The extra slot with the 3 slots means that there's just more parity, and you're going to see more drama. But the Guardians' problem is the number 2 hitter in the lineup. You know, I had a big problem with Sunday's lineup. I mean, I'm not in favor of punting anything, nor alone against Tarik Skubal. I know that they were outmatched. I know that had they sent out their best lineup, that they still probably would have been outmatched. But for me, the number 2 hitter in the lineup is a problem for Cleveland. Number 2 hitters, whoever's hitting second in this lineup, if you combine the stats, heading into yesterday's series opener against the Dodgers, we're hitting 172 with 54 strikeouts on the season. That's too many. It's too many strikeouts, and it's a terrible batting average. And I know batting average doesn't tell the full story, but .172 after Stephen Kwan, for that to be the combined average in between Stephen Kwan and Jose Ramirez, it's too vital of a slot. Now, if you look back at the playoffs last year, who was hitting second for the Guardians? David Fry, who's about to come back. But I think that this ball club right now is in an interesting predicament because, number one, they don't have a solid second hitter. They have a terrific 1 and 3. I think the top hitter in the lineup, you know, he's, I don't want to say regressed, but it's hard for him to just be superhuman at times. The problem that they have is what's going to happen here when Fry, who is exclusively a designated hitter, comes back because of Kyle Manzardo and the first base that he's playing and the job that he's doing for this team. How does Carlos Santana fit into this equation? And then the elephant in the room is right field. I mean, I think the sooner that C.J. Cephas, Chase DeLauder, you're going to see these guys come up. Chase DeLauder is on his way, and I don't think he solves every problem. I also think it's unfair to say that either one of them solves all kinds of problems. But I will say this. I'm getting tired of watching Jonkenzie Noel, and I'm getting tired of watching Nolan Jones try to hit the baseball. It isn't working, and this team is talented enough to be a playoff team, but I think this ball club is going to look a whole lot different a month and 10 days from now than they look like right now.
Yeah, John, that's what I'm hanging on to, too. I mean, you bring Cephas up, you bring DeLauder up, Bieber will come back, Means will be there as well, and it's going to be just a different team, and I think once you get just a little bit more pop and a little bit more,
and
the lineup will look different, it'll feel different, I think it's going to be a much better team.
JP, you're right. I mean, the lineup has to be better, and if you remember last year, how did this team win the Central Division? Everyone's like, well, it was pitching. Yeah, but in the first half of the season, it was because they were able to answer. And even as the year went on, you know, even in the playoffs, I mean, yeah, they lost that series to the Yankees. But if you remember those games, what was so striking was their offense could always pick them up and could find a way to pick them up, even though it was smaller ball. But, you know, the Noel home run that won it for them, those types of things happened all throughout last season. Last night, you could feel it even a little bit. If you watch that game closely, Cleveland had multiple situations, even when they were down 6-2. You know, I think the thing that maddened me, I don't know how closely you guys were watching, but they had Angel Martinez. Angel Martinez tried to lay down a bunt with a runner at second base and one out. What are we doing? Like, enough with the bunting. You know, swing the bat. Angel Martinez has actually been I've actually been encouraged by his overall production at the plate.
Yeah, John, the radio call was funny. I was listening to Tom, and he was just like, is he showing signs of bunt right now? He was flabbergasted.
Yeah, like, I just... There are some things that I've been a little bit, you know, perplexed by, and that's one of those things, because he's one of the better bats going for them. But it does feel like last year, this team made the playoffs because they really had lineup depth. And obviously, Lane Thomas, and it wasn't part of the equation in the first half, and David Fry, you know, has been hurt this year, and now they're just getting Thomas back. We'll see. But it does feel like for several years, Nick, JP, agree or disagree, you know, this outfield has been a revolving door situation of, like, are we going to be able to find three constant guys that are delivering? And yet again here this season, not to say they don't have some options, DeLauder's health, knock on wood, is obviously the elephant in the room, but you just wish that you could walk into a season, or that you could at some point get to a point this season. I think that's the key for this ball club is, can they get to a point where you really do feel good about the outfield? Because right now, it's still a mystery machine.
John, looking to the Browns, OTAs beginning today. We're going to, you know, hear from the team tomorrow. We got the four-headed quarterback Hydra here. What chance do you give the quarterback competition to actually work out this year?
Well, I still think that this is a football team. I mean, I'm going to say this right now, and I really hope I'm wrong, but, you know, I think that the Browns are going to be good for 4-6 wins this upcoming season. I don't have these high hopes. Call me a pessimist, but, Dylan Gabriel's not going to be the week one starter, and I'd be surprised if Shedeur Sanders was the week one starter either. I'm not a big fan of having either one of them, you know, start that soon. I do think we're going to see Sanders at some point because of a number of different reasons, but I just think that we will. I think that it's in the Browns' best interest to start Joe Flacco week one. The Browns are much closer to being a bottom feeder in the league than they are to being one of the 5 to 10 best teams in the NFL. So, based on where they stand, like, obviously I want to say differently, guys, but I think that the writing is on the wall with this football team. And to me, unless Kenny Pickett, you know, knocks everybody's socks off and really has an amazing camp, then it's going to be hard for me to not say Joe Flacco's your week one guy. And you could say, well, you know, is he going to be able to recreate the magic that he had now 2 years ago? I don't know the answer to that question, but I feel better about that than I do by ruining a rookie that soon, or, you know, throwing Kenny Pickett out there who if you throw Kenny Pickett and Flacco and you never tried it again with Flacco, there's a part of me too that's kicking myself as well. So I think that the Browns are going to try to put up a front. I also think that it's important across the board, like this whole notion of not doing anything at all during the preseason. How did that work out last year? It was clear in week one against Dallas. I mean, you can't go – even Stefanski said it last week in the interviews. I thought it was really telling. Whenever any of the hosts on your network and on the other radio network that he did an interview with, every time they brought up last year, he said, yeah, you really can't take anything from last year, because without saying it, he said it was a mess. You know, he basically admitted that it was a mess, which it was. It was a complete mess. And I actually found Kevin to be very refreshing last week. Like, I want him to be successful because I think he gets Cleveland. I think his family has settled in nicely, and I think I do still think he's a good coach. But this is a loaded question that I have for you guys, and I'm sure you're going to ask, and we'll talk about as the weeks go on. When you know what the writing on the wall is with this football team, which I truly believe their ceiling's like, I'm going to say 7 or 8 wins. I don't think they're a playoff team. Would you guys agree with me on that?
Yeah.
Or do you disagree? So if that's the ceiling, how do you properly judge a veteran coach?
I mean, I think if you're an offensive head coach, I think you grade him off the offense, no?
Yeah, I agree with that. Because if the offense is that terrible, and if it's as bad as it was this past year, then he's not going to continue on. I don't think any coach would have 2 back-to-back years of it. I just think that that's what's going to be interesting about this is, obviously, we break down every single thing, every single game, because it's interesting and it's compelling. But what is the metric for success going to be? You asked me about the quarterback situation. My vote is Flacco. I don't know where either of you two side heading into like a week 1 situation. But my thing is, like, I'm really curious to say, okay, what's the metric for success for this team, and what determines if Kevin Stefanski and this regime is back in 2026?
John, we got a boogie, buddy, but always great catching up with you, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday at 4.
Thank you, fellas, and JP, maybe mix in a beer every now and then, and I guess Nick, maybe mix in a water every now and then with your banquet.
Gotta stay hydrated. I did have that problem over the weekend. John Fanta on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline joins us every single Tuesday at 4 p.m. Albert Breer now at 4:40. We'll react what John had to say about the quarterback competition and the chance he gives it to actually work out this year for the Browns. That's in 5 minutes on 90.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
2-3 The Fan.
Nathan Zagura joins us right now. Browns Radio Network at Nathan Zagura on Twitter. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Nathan.
Good morning. What's going on?
Mon frere, it's going well.
Nathan, I thought to myself, I don't know a lot of Nathans, but I've been trying to explain to Ken Carmen the popularity of a very famous now Nathan that has been making the rounds on television. I wasn't able to do it. Are you familiar, Nathan Zagura, with Nathan Fielder?
No.
Okay.
Me neither. Told you. You're the only one watching that thing. I'm not watching it tonight. I'm watching the Dale Earnhardt documentary. I waited until all 4 episodes were released.
I finished it yesterday.
Am I going to cry?
Dale probably doesn't make it.
Stop. All of you, stop it. Stop. I know that he doesn't make it. Nathan Zagura joining us right now. All right, Nathan, people are going, you're making too big a deal about the OTAs. I go, we got 4 quarterbacks who are going to end up playing this year. I don't think we are making too big a deal about the OTAs. This is a big deal. Who's looked very good during the OTAs to begin?
QBs?
I mean, obviously, it is very early, and as you guys know, we're in uncharted territory. I don't remember having OTA trackers like we are having right now. And I think the big story is not going to be so much what we've seen so far, which is, I think, you know, Shador made very, very good throws. Joe Flacco made good throws. Pickett made some good throws. Gabriel made some good throws. I think what's going to be interesting is we see how they stacked them now, or at least a distribution of reps now, right? Pickett and Gabriel, and I've said all along, I still think Kenny Pickett will be the week one starter, but they both got 16 reps. Flacco was second, was third, and then Shador got 9 reps. So what will be telling to me is if by the end of minicamp, if that stays the same, or if that changes, if Shador earns more reps as we go through this early portion, or even as we open up into training camp, because that to me is more the story. I think we've seen all of them. Shador's very good in that red zone period. His ball placement remains excellent. Gabriel, when he is in rhythm, has his arm is good, and he's made a lot of very nice throws. Flacco still looks like an absolute statue. He looks everything like you want a quarterback to be, chiseled out of bronze, stands tall in the pocket at 6'6". He has such an effortless throwing motion, can hit every blade of grass. He's looked good. And then you heard Kevin Stefanski talk about Kenny Pickett. He's very high on what he's seen from Kenny Pickett as well. So it really is an open quarterback competition. I talked with Bill Musgrave yesterday, the Browns quarterback coach, and he said that's what's cool about this. It's kind of a unique thing that you really have a quarterback competition like this. I think obviously the Browns want the answer to come from Pickett, Gabriel, or Sanders, because that's more than just a short-term solution potentially. But yeah, so far that's really what we've seen. You know, you look at kind of the elite traits, or if there is an elite trait, or what the best trait of these guys is so far. And obviously for Flacco, it's the ability to throw the ball vertically. I think for Gabriel, you really see him kind of in the keeper game, his ability to be very accurate on the run. Shador's ball placement is unbelievable. And then Pickett is just a kind of a solid quarterback and a much better athlete, I think, than people realize. So it's been a good start to the camp. I know the Browns are happy with the way that things have started, because OTAs, let's be honest, it really is just a passing camp, and they like what they've seen from their quarterbacks.
Nathan Zagura, join us on the hotline. How difficult do you think it's going to be for the organization to balance, hey, Joe Flacco, most likely ready to go, doesn't even really need that many reps, he could start week one and give the Browns the best chance to win, versus, hey, we've got these young guys this year.
People say that, I've heard that a lot.
Okay.
I think people assuming that Joe Flacco gives us the best chance to win is kind of an interesting thing. Why do you assume Joe Flacco gives us the best chance to win?
I'll be honest, because Nathan, I don't think very highly at all of Kenny Pickett. I just don't. And the other ones are just a third and a fifth rounder. And normally the way the NFL works, third and fifth rounders are, if things go well, are backups in the NFL for the majority of their career. So it's probably unfair because, hey, guys, Brock Purdy drafted where he was. Now he's a starter making big money in San Francisco. So there are diamonds
in
the rough.
That's more the anomaly, though.
Yeah
that's you don't bet on outliers. I hear what you're saying. I think it's interesting. Flacco was magical with us. And I love Joe Flacco. I think he not only is an excellent quarterback, he's a great guy. I think where we're at right now, you know, Pickett's still 15-10 as a starter, whether you like him or not, and was in a very, very bad offensive situation. He had 7 game-winning drives, so he's got some clutch meter to him. The thing about that that's interesting is outside of the season with us, the last time Joe Flacco had a winning record as a starting quarterback in a season was 2017. So, like, the notion that he's just, like, guaranteed to be a winner for us, because we saw it, and it was awesome. That was so fun. That's the one that I maybe push back a little bit on, and I think that's why it really is a competition. I don't think there is kind of a statement that can be made like that, and I hear that a lot, and I don't think it's necessarily rooted in fact.
Go ahead. Well, part of it is, too, Nathan, that the discussion when he was doing it with Cleveland, and it was so late in the season, and it all seemed to click, was that, oh, Stefanski has a guy that can really operate his offense, and there's a chemistry there.
Yep. No doubt. There was. And Joe Flacco threw for over 300 yards in all of those games, threw a ton of touchdowns, unfortunately threw a lot of interceptions as well. And we were, I think, fortunate to overcome some of that in some of those games. I love Joe Flacco. I think to me, I look at Joe Flacco as if the young guys all fall on their face, we know that we can play Joe Flacco and we can operate a fun and exciting and maybe kind of, you know, some of the good with some of the bad type of an offense, but definitely can run that. I mean, we saw it, to your point. I do also think that this season is about, you've got to find out if you got three bites at the apple in terms of Pickett's on still a young man on a rookie deal, a former first round pick. And then you've got the two guys that you drafted and obviously very high on Dylan Gabriel, relative certainly to the rest of the league in terms of where they were able to get him, and they like him and he's played a lot. He's got a body of work, as Bill Musgrave said yesterday. And then you got Shedeur Sanders, who I think is incredibly talented. I mean, we talked about in the pre-draft process, and I go back to it. There isn't anybody I ever talked to, and I don't know if you guys did on your show, that said anything other than he was a first, or and the people that were quote-unquote down on him thought he was a mid-second-round talent, early second-round talent. There was nobody thought Shedeur Sanders was a fifth-round talent coming into this draft. And so you've got three guys, two of whom the Browns are very high on. You know, and that's the thing about Kenny Pickett is, Kenny Pickett was with Matt Canada, who was probably the worst offensive coordinator in the league, had a terrible offensive line. They weren't really running the ball. They didn't really have anything. I would have been interested to see what Kenny Pickett was in Arthur Smith's offense. Never got that opportunity. Bring in Russell Wilson. He wants a trade. He goes to Philly. Philly spoke very highly of him. And obviously we know the connections between the Browns and the Eagles in their front offices. So to me, I give him a real shot. I really do. I think that Kenny Pickett is a tough kid. He's been a winner in this league. As I said, believe it or not, since I've been with the Browns, he has the best winning percentage, career winning percentage of anybody that's quarterback for the Browns during that spin. So, and he's young and he's done it in the AFC North. So I'm at least interested to see what that looks like.
So it sounds like Kenny's the leader to be the starter for you.
Yeah, I think it just makes the most sense. I think you look at the schedule as well. I think that's one thing that people also need to take into consideration is if you're going to put, you know, let's say Gabriel or Shedeur light it up and they're clearly the best. Will they start week one? Probably. But you also want to make sure that when you're starting with a rookie quarterback that you probably want to put him in a position to succeed. And I would argue that the opening of our season is not a place for somebody to cut their teeth at the National Football League level. That's probably a place for somebody who's played some games in the NFL. Home Cincy, at Baltimore, home Green Bay, at Detroit, at Minnesota, or at London. Home, it's technically home, Minnesota in London, and then at the Steelers, where you know we have not won in the regular season, at least in the 13 years that I've either been on the sidelines or in the booth. So those six teams were a combined 40 games over 500 last year. So to me, that's why you would want a veteran and you'd want somebody who has played. And Kenny Pickett, not only is young, but he has played. He has won. And he's won in this division. So, yes, to me, he would be kind of the leader in the clubhouse. And I would say the reps right now indicate that of the guys that I think they're really looking at to start week one, that he would be the leader in the clubhouse.
Well, then I'm a little confused about Joe, because you just said, like, well, if one of these young guys fall flat, then he comes in. And I'm going, well, they're not. Are they going to carry four quarterbacks going into the season?
I don't think so.
So what happens to Joe?
I don't know.
Well, I don't like that answer. I don't like that answer, Nathan Zagura. No, I don't, Dragon.
Well, what do you want the answer to be? That they carry four quarterbacks or they cut one of the kids that they just drafted?
No, I don't want that to happen. I just said I didn't like the answer.
So what answer would you like?
I am loving this version of Nathan Zagura.
What answer would I like?
I'm absolutely loving this. He's feisty with me. He's feisty
you
with want, Ken.
You want to know?
Feisty. This is just awesome.
I think when people speak in cliches and narratives, like, there has to be some grounding to that.
Cliche?
You know what I mean?
I'm a cliche?
Just call us idiots, Nathan. Let's go.
I'm a cliche now?
No, to say that somebody gives you the best chance to win, that's just kind of like a cliche talking point.
Okay, I got a better one for you.
Okay.
Myles Garrett, lack of leadership, not being in OTAs. There you go. What do you think, Nathan?
Well, what Ken, going back to what Ken was saying, Ken, what's the answer that you want to hear about the quarterback?
We're going to go.
I think it's a very difficult situation because
I wanted to hear the Browns
didn't intend to have four quarterbacks.
No, I know.
I think the Browns, when they signed Joe Flacco, knowing Cam Ward was going first, felt very good. They were coming into the season with Pickett, Flacco, and Gabriel, right? Mm-hmm. I think, can we all agree on that?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Shedeur Sanders piece makes it a different calculus than it would have been otherwise. Maybe they do keep four quarterbacks, but I think when you look at this roster and try to put together a 53-man team, you're going to need at least 26 on the defensive side. And to do that, that means you can only have 24 on the offensive side. And four quarterbacks would be a tough thing to get.
So I'll tell you what I wanted you to tell me. I wanted you to tell me that Joe Flacco would start the season because we hold on to anybody who's successful like Grim
Death. Love Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco was one of my favorite people that I've interviewed or been around in my entire time with the Cleveland Browns.
I didn't say you said he was a major league bastard. I said that just said that you didn't think he was going to start the season is what I said.
I think Kenny Pickett is more likely to start the season.
Joe Pisarcik could start the season for all I know at this point.
I don't know if he could.
Wait a minute, is he still with us? Hold on, Nathan, stand by. Owen, look it up. Joe Pisarcik. Joe Pisarcik is...
Hard to spell.
Oh! He's alive.
All right! Joe's still alive. Good for him.
So he's in the mix. So you're saying there's a chance.
We're thriving going into June in 2025. Okay. I wanted you to tell me Joe Flacco was going to be the starter, and then it would probably be Dylan Gabriel and then Shador Sanders at some point. Because
no belief in Kenny Pickett.
Very little, okay. Man. I mean, I'm sorry.
We were trained, number one, because he started for the Steelers, we were supposed to not like him. And because his stats were what they were, we were supposed to diminish the fact that he won any game because he was a Steeler. And because Pony said that he was going to be Joe Montana.
You know what? That's part of it. I ain't gonna lie to you there. That might be part of it. Is I think so little of Pony's opinion of anybody that it completely destroys my opinion of them when they come.
Listen, people were not happy initially when Joe Flacco came to the Browns either, right? But then he played well. I think you're going to have a situation where opportunities are going to be given to these players, and you'll see what they are. Like I said, it's a tough start to the season. Like if the Browns. Would you guys agree that if the Browns went 3-3 over the opening six games, that would be
huge,
very encouraging?
Huge, yes,
yes. So I think that's you're looking for. Who do we think can maybe get us to that point? And that's why I just don't think it would be one of the rookies right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. So I think it is Pickett or Flacco to start Week One, and then the other question becomes: what happens with the other one? Could they trade one of the rookies? I mean, we've seen this team trade quarterbacks. We saw Josh Dobbs get traded. My guess is that somebody around the league, a need will arise for either Flacco or Pickett, and that somebody will be traded and that it'll work itself out. That would be my guess. I think, though, if you're looking at it from the Brown standpoint of what do we need to do, we need to find somebody. You would rather at least give Kenny Pickett an opportunity to be that. If Joe Flacco were in his 20s or if Joe Flacco were 35, I think Joe Flacco has a much better chance to start Week One.
Yeah, that's true.
I just think it's part of where we are as an organization and what we're doing and what the biggest problem of this organization has been for decades and decades, which is, you know, since Bernie, is finding that quarterback that you have to give somebody a chance who has the potential at least to be that solution.
You are right, though. He's got to air out that Pony stink. He's got the Pony stink on him, and we got to.
And it's fair.
We got to put him out on the clothesline for a minute. Get that natural
air. It's tribalism. Kenny Pickett could not be good. The fact that now we have to try to get our heads around maybe he can be good. He did win 15 games to 10 losses. He's won 60% of the games he started. Maybe he can't be that bad. I don't know. Because if you look at the Steelers before him, after him, do they still win games? Sure. Do they still don't go anywhere. It's not like he was necessarily the problem or the solution. Now you're hoping that maybe he can be the solution here, but it's a hard thing to get your head around because you wanted to belittle Kenny Pickett. People wanted to talk about his hands. People want to talk about he can't throw the ball. And now all of a sudden you're like, now he's on Kenny Pickett. So now we need, hopefully, that he's good.
Nathan, what makes a guy's guy in your eyes?
Somebody that you just want to hang out with. A guy's guy is somebody you want to hang out with, is fun, not into drama. Just a good time. Easy hang. An easy hang is I found that's a compliment that's thrown around now. Oh, so-and-so, that guy's an easy hang. That feels like something that you'd say about a guy's guy.
You know what? That takes Jim Harbaugh out of it, Tone. He is not an easy hang. That guy's a weirdo. I mean, if you
would be an intense hang for sure.
Yeah, it would be a little bit too much. But Kevin, that puts him in the...
I think you guys are guys' guys.
I'm a guy's guy, 100%.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit there. I'm going to drink beer with you. All right, Nathan.
Yeah. You're not going to let Lima be a guy's guy?
I was going to let him speak for himself.
I used to invite some drama, Nathan. I think it's a toil in that world.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, that makes it a little bit less guy's guy, but I feel like in the actual hang itself, you're very much a guy's guy.
What do you mean used to?
I was going to say used to. I was going to let that go. I think now you're more into professional drama now. Would you agree with that?
Great point.
Yeah,
yes.
That's true. Yes. I'm a grounded family man.
That's part of the job. That's part of the job.
Grounded family man. You know,
kumbaya all the time. That's not as fun.
That's true.
Nathan, we thank you very much for the time. All the best.
Love you guys. This was fun. It was spicy. Listen, I got a baby boy coming in 10 days, so maybe I'm a little amped up. So.
That's awesome.
Scheduled?
Yeah.
You got scheduled? We play the schedule
game
and baby schedule game.
Right now, he's breached. He's like, he's just sitting up.
That's where we were.
Ooh. So,
yeah. Now,
already
see,
a guy's guy.
Nathan, here's the thing about the breech baby. We had two. It started out with two nurses on my wife's stomach doing almost a tribal dance to get the baby to turn around. It never happened, so it ended up being a C-section. But to see two women on my wife in that position, it was very interesting. It was an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, they kind of told us that I think he's a little bit of a big boy, and they're like, look, we could do that. It's not going to be pleasant, and I hope for your wife it was maybe less better than they make it sound like it is. But they're like, it's not that pleasant, and it's probably not going to work, so we don't really recommend it.
Nathan, thank you, Nathan. Take care.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Nathan Zagura on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm hollering.
Yeah.
Christopher.
Hello.
Dude, I was cracking up your Tori Lavello interview online today, the part of your dugout discussion with him about him getting kicked out of the game for obstruction. Primo stuff. That was outstanding. If you haven't seen it, make sure you're following Chris. How fun was that to do that?
Well, he's awesome. For people that don't know the backstory, he got thrown out a couple of weeks ago in a game. I think it was in San Francisco, where he went out and pointed at each of the umpires and ejected them. He did the little Joe Madden.
That was
thing.
Funny.
It
yeah, was great. I saw that. That yeah. was funny.
And so John Boy did what he does, which is he did a breakdown, a lip reading of what Tory was saying. Some of it was obvious, and then some of it wasn't. And somebody asked Tory in the post-game press conference, because we have a very good relationship with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He said, are you looking forward to John Boy's breakdown? And he goes, yes. He goes, sometimes Jimmy will text me and ask me, hey, did you say that? He goes, I'm not going to give him any help on this one. So when the Diamondbacks were in town recently, I decided to go cover them and sat down with him we watched Jimmy's lip reading, and I asked him how he did. And he took us through everything, what he was thinking, what he was feeling, what he was saying. And he said, Jimmy nailed it. He said, A-plus material. Go watch the clip. It's on my social media. It's great. It's one thing that Jimmy has done that has really, I think, opened up a new avenue of baseball fans, because he has created some amazing content with that, and it is so fun. And I really applaud Torrey, because there's not a lot of managers that would sit down with you.
Yep.
You know, so usually they're embarrassed about what happened. He had no problem rolling through it and having fun with it.
I thought the interesting part of the interview itself was the fact that he scanned, when he said, I scanned the field and I looked at the umpire and nobody called the obstruction. And then you guys had the video. He came back and he's like, the guy at third base called it not once, but twice had the obstruction call.
Yeah, I mean, he admitted to his credit in the post-game interview. He said, you know, I missed the third base umpire putting his hand up for obstruction, because, you know, we don't even think about that sort of stuff as baseball fans. We don't know what the manager is doing. Like, and could he really see all four umpires if one of them had his hand up and was calling it? So, you know, I thought that that's why it was great for Jimmy to do the breakdown. And it was great to sit with Torrey to find out what, where he was in his headspace throughout a really interesting bit of baseball.
It was cool. It was really cool.
Thank you.
Your Guardians put up 5 in the 8th inning yesterday after Andy and I said, boy, that offense doesn't give you any confidence that it can put up 5 and come back in a game. And then they did yesterday against the Dodgers. It's that I keep watching them, Chris, and I'm impressed that they keep hanging and remain in contention, and no reason to think they can't all season long. But we've been talking about the outfield a little bit, and with Lane Thomas hurt and with nobody producing in right, maybe Nolan Jones can get going. I wonder how this is going to shake out. Is there anybody there that you think this guy could be the answer out in the outfield right now?
I mean, you're talking about from the minor league?
No, of the guys who are on the team right now. I mean, like Martinez has looked great in center field. I wonder if he can build on this. Nolan Jones was 3-for-3 off the bench yesterday. Does he have it? Does, you know, is it just he's had a terrible start? Because I'm looking for guys.
Yeah, we're all looking for him. And it's not the everyday lineup is not good enough to be a consistent winner. It's just not. It's not, you know, I would love to go back to when Jose signed his extension, to what they told him. Like, you know, we all know that he took significantly below market value. We also know that he loves it in Cleveland and is very comfortable. And we're all thankful that we got to hang on to a superstar instead of having to pull another name off of the back of a jersey when they leave, either via free agency or trade. So we're very thankful. But I would be curious to know what the discussions were like. Did they tell him, hey, we're not going to go have a $200 million payroll, but we're going to have $130 million, and we're going to try and surround you as your salary increases to make sure that we have the ability to compete. And we don't have one player outside of Jose that either is on their rookie deal, everybody's on their rookie deal, or has a one-year contract. Is there anybody that we have signed? Is there a veteran that we've signed to a multi-year deal? I mean, Bibee we just gave an extension to. So I don't know if he's still, you know, if he's not making anything this year. I don't remember about the...
I believe it's way down, Chris, yeah.
But you understand what I'm saying.
Sure. That
we haven't added anybody to this team. I think John Means got a 2-year deal, but one of them is an arm issue, right? You build that in. I think he has the ability to opt out as well after this year, if I'm not mistaken. So to me, that's the frustrating part of this whole thing. And so you're just kind of taking flyers on a bunch of young guys.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a recipe for success. I mean, it can happen. Like, we made it all the way to the, you know, game 5 of the ALCS last year, but to build a consistent winner, it just feels like Detroit has put it together better. I mean, they gave Alex Bregman a huge offer. He just decided not to take it. I don't think it's a great way to build your team. I think it's tough.
And I think they're counting on some key guys coming up, but that's so difficult and so challenging. and certainly anything but a sure thing. You know, Dellauder has had such a tough time staying healthy. Bazzana's right. not healthy now. And, you know, Rocchio looked like the real deal in the playoffs last year. Now you wonder, can Brian get his way back here? I agree with you completely, Chris. They've been able to develop pitching, which has been great, and it's the key to the game. But, man, you got to score some runs, too.
Yeah, I just don't think that – I was talking with somebody. I went for dugout discussions, went and interviewed Max Fried of the Yankees yesterday, and I was talking to somebody in the Yankees organization, and I said, listen, you saw them a few weeks ago, the Guardians. He goes, yeah, they're a little thinner in their pitching than they have been. And he goes, their lineup is very thin. And he wasn't trying to be mean. We were just, he knew I was a Guardians fan. And I said, what's the real deal with them? And that's the assessment from the team who's the defending American League champs and has a lot of respect for what we do here. But that's the perception around the league, that it's thinning. You're trying to thread a needle that is so thin that unless things go perfectly, then you're going to be kind of stuck in kind of a low to mid 80s win season.
Chris, speaking of perception, what do you think the perception is around the league about the Browns quarterback situation?
I think a lot of people are curious. Because I don't think there's ever been a quarterback competition like this, ever, where you could – I mean, I think it's – I think the week one starter is coming from Flacco-Pickett winner, and then I think the other guy will get traded and or released. That's because I don't think they're going to keep four guys. And then trying to figure out which of the young guys is ahead of the other to be the primary backup and then get first crack at it. At being a starter if things go sideways quickly. So I think that there's a lot of intrigue in it. I think most people do understand that they have set themselves up via trade to get a shot at a quarterback class that is expected to be very deep. So I don't think that anybody has any problems with the way that things are going right now. To me, the question I would ask Kevin, if I had him, on the line would be, at what point do you need to have your guy picked as the number one dude? I mean, how much time is it? Can you make this work on August 20th? Do you need it August 10th? When do you need it so that you guys are ready for week one?
That's an interesting question. I'm sure you saw Terry Bradshaw's comments about Kenny Pickett. Was that more of an indictment of the Steelers, or was it more of belief in Kenny Pickett?
Well, Terry's always had an interesting relationship with the Steelers and the quarterbacks that are there, right? Mm-hmm. So,
and he kind of liked Pickett.
What's that?
And he seemed to like Pickett.
Yeah. And that's fine. I mean, listen, maybe Kenny Pickett's now, this is year four, and he's on team three. And he's had very, very different roles in each of his stops, right? Last year, he knew he wasn't going to play unless Jalen Hurts got hurt. Got hurt a little bit at the end of the season. He had to come in, did some nice things. He's still very young, but when we look back at that 2022 draft, with, as far as the quarterbacks go, it's going down as one of the least decorated in history. That's just a fact. And he was the first guy off the board there. And, just because he was taken in the first round, yes, that means that you were a first-round quarterback, just like Tim Tebow was a first-round quarterback, just like Paxton Lynch was a first-round quarterback. That doesn't mean that you are a first-rounder, if you know what I mean, like first-round ability.
Absolutely.
I think we're all interested in what he can do, what he's learned. I personally don't know what Kenny Pickett does best, so I'm curious about it. All I can tell you is I'm super excited to call preseason games because sometimes when you get in preseason games, when you get in the second half, there are teams that will roll out a quarterback where you're like, man, what are we watching? Well, here we have to watch every single snap because somebody's going to have a future with this team in some capacity that we're going to roll out there most likely.
I thought somebody that may have had the last name Rose that isn't related to you brought up a really good point about Gabriel Dillon. And Dillon Gabriel.
What yeah, that was here? Good. Sorry, you mean Gabriel, comma Dillon?
Yes, that's I like.
That's
to speak
what he.
Like
that's
that.
What he thought. Related to Gabriel, comma Arias.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They're all the same. that if he's the quarterback because he's left-handed, that everyone's going to make fun of me all day. That Jack Conklin becomes then the most important guy in the offensive line. And Jeff and I were talking about this yesterday, and I was like, yeah, I guess if you do have a left-handed quarterback, that changes the whole dynamic of the offensive line as far as having just a different hand. I don't know. I'm interested in the way this offensive line comes together this year. And DeJuan Jones, if he can play the left spot. But then when I started thinking about Conklin, then you're like, you hope he's healthy if Gabriel's the guy. Help me. Does that make sense? Probably not.
Yeah, except more now so than ever, guys are flipping in terms of where they rush from.
Mm-hmm.
Some teams just keep them exactly where they are, but guys get moved around. And so the right tackle has become extremely important. Those guys get paid a massive amount of money as well. So I don't, you know, I mean, now if the separate question is if we just want to focus on the offensive line.
Yeah.
It was horrible last year. And I, you know, my good friend Joe Thomas made the point that sometimes you're a victim of how your quarterback plays. And everybody thinks the offensive line stinks. But maybe if you do a deeper dive, it wasn't as bad as maybe it seemed. And I don't want to put words in Joe's mouth, but maybe he was pointing it at someone in particular who played a lot of quarterback the first half of last year. We will all admit that the team looked significantly different when Jameis came in. I mean, it went from an horrific offensive watch to, you know, the Monday night game in Denver stands out because
wildly
Denver
entertaining.
Was,
yep.
It, not only was it entertaining, they were taking it to
yep.
one of the top defenses in the NFL all season long. Now, yes, I mean, you can't dismiss the, what did he throw, two pick sixes and three interceptions total, and it could have been more than that. But the offense had a rhythm and a flow to it, and we certainly weren't sitting here going, God, the offensive line sucks. And we just weren't saying it at that point. But, yeah, I mean, your quarterback can make your offensive line like Tom Brady did for so many years in New England great because of your decision-making, your ability to get the ball out quickly. And then there are some quarterbacks who hold the ball like they're hoarding a brick of gold back there and they don't want to ever want to give it up. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're sitting there and your offensive line is looking at you like, dude, can you help us out a little bit? Although they won't ever say it because that's not in the nature of offensive linemen to do that. They're taught to take it unto themselves, and if one guy fails, all five fail, and that, you know, I admire that. But yeah, I think it'll be curious. And but we also have some, you know, picking up Cornelius Lucas is a good thing. It's a veteran swing tackle that has started a ton of games. You know, Zach Zinter has got a he's got to pick it up because he's going to be the next guy in line come next year if Betonio is indeed, if this is it for him. So got some young guys that got to get going too.
You excited about the running back situation, even without yeah. Nick Chubb? Mm-hmm. I'm anxious to see the two draft choices out there.
Totally. Absolutely. Very much so. I think that is going to be leaned upon heavily. I mean, we're all talking about the quarterback. But if this team is going to surprise some people and win games, we're going to have to do it with the running game. Like we're going to play, I think we're going to play some tight games, and we might have a 20-17 lead with 4 minutes to go in the game. Well, let's go get some first downs. You know, let's run that 4 minute offense.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, Quinshon, that's what he was the, you know, teaching master classes in Columbus was. They would give him the ball when they had to work the clock. So I am excited about those guys. There's a lot to be excited about. I don't know how many wins we'll get. I really don't, because there are some areas where we're deficient. But I am excited to find out which of these guys can kind of move us forward.
Chris, what are you working on right now? What do you got coming up next?
Well, like I said, another dugout discussions. They come out every Sunday at 2 o'clock Cleveland time. This week it's Max Fried, who's been an amazing pickup for the Yankees. He's just a really, really good kid. He was a good, fun interview. I've known him. He actually played Little League where my kids played years apart, but I remember he got drafted 7th overall by the San Diego Padres and came back, and it was awesome to watch this 18-year-old kid get flocked by all these Little Leaguers for autographs and pictures, and that was the first time I met him, and so I've been able to know him, and he's a really just a nice kid who happens to be really good at baseball. So we got a lot of that. Baseball Today every day is just our daily podcast where we talk, you know, about all 30 teams. And I just recorded something that I'm really proud of. It's called the Stanley Pup. It was in conjunction with the NHL. 32 rescue dogs competing in kind of hockey-ish games where they're trying to get chew toys across the goal line and stuff. But it's really to get people aware of rescues and adopting. In fact, we adopted our dog in 2013, Sydney, and she's the love of our lives. And so that's something I'm really proud about doing, and that'll be coming out in a few weeks.
That's on True TV? Is that all right? Where's that
going to
be?
Yes, it'll be there. It'll be on NHL Network. Yeah, I'll let you know when it's coming out. But it was a really fun thing to do.
Outstanding. Well, that sounds sounds great. I started watching some highlights of it as you started talking about it. Very, very cool. Look at you, little hockey. Nice. Chris, thank you. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, it was more pups than pucks, but yeah, I get you.
It's all good. Bye, Chris.
Thanks, guys.
To talk all things Guardians baseball, we're joined by Odyssey MLB insider Bob Nightingale. Insider calls presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. And Bob Nightingale now joining us in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Bob, welcome to the show.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Well, it's great to have you here. I know it's early in the season. I think there are some people itching to make a declaration on whether the Guardians are a good enough team to be a playoff team or not. What are your early indications about where this Guardians team is in second place in this AL Central at 500?
Yeah, no, I think it's impressive where they are. I mean, it's certainly a tougher division than people thought. You know, you saw, four teams with winning records, three teams. And, it's going to be a dogfight. I mean, Minnesota looked like they were done. And then they started playing good ball, finally got healthy. So, I mean, I think Detroit is the team to beat. And, we'll see what happens. But they had a great September last year and kind of a carryover.
The Guardians' starting pitching has taken some flack nationally as of late. Do you see their starting pitching as something that can turn around, especially if you add Bieber coming up here in a little bit and Means coming up here in a little bit, and maybe they do end up just kind of settling in?
No, I do for sure. I mean, you got those guys coming back, and there's a lot of teams that have, even the Dodgers, as good as they are, they got massive starting rotation problems. So, no, I think you need a lot of depth. Those guys come up and give a blow to the others. Class A is, back pitching well. I think they'll be in the race, all season long.
Bob, the offense in some metrics is ranked 32nd. Is ranked last, so 30th in baseball. The starting rotation across the totality of the regular season is ranked 23rd. The bullpen's quite good again, maybe not where it was last year. So when we start to look at the three parts of the team here, which part of the team do you think you can count on, or we can count on, being better down the stretch for this Guardians team?
Well, I think certainly offensively it'll be better. I just think guys have been banged up, and once they get their footing and stuff, it should be a solid offensive team, much like a year ago. And I think they'll be hanging around. Like I said, I still think it's the Tigers division to lose, but there's no reason why, they can't get a wild card spot. And these days, it really doesn't matter if we have a wild card spot or win the division.
Is Stephen Kwan worth a $100 million deal?
That's high. I'm not sure to go that high. The only reason I say that is what Pete Grew Armstrong was just offered $65 million. And you'd definitely take Crow Armstrong over. So I think that's on the high side for him. He's a very good player and stuff, and hey, it's not, you know, not our money. So but I think if he got that, he would jump on it.
Bob Nightingale on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Insider calls brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We had another host in our station yesterday, and this was before the Guardians picked up the dub at the end of it, but just with the way the Guardians had a rough little stretch there, he felt like Jose was going to be a cautionary tale of wasting a player, a great player's prime, given that the Guardians have not won a World Series with Jose, even though they were in 2016 and have had a couple nice deep playoff runs the last couple of years. I'm curious, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's like saying you're wasting Aaron Judge. I mean, they haven't won a World Series either, but they're in the playoffs year after year. For what he's done, the contract he took and everything else, I mean, he's been worth his weight in gold. And, it's not like a situation where Felix Hernandez is like couldn't get any wins in Seattle because they have no run support and that sort of thing. So no, just the fact, you know, if they weren't making the playoffs, it'd be a different story. You know, if Paul Skeens is in Pittsburgh for 6 years and they don't make a playoffs, and so you feel sorry for Skeens wasting those years. But I don't think it's been a waste at all. I mean, it's been a goldmine having Ramirez, particularly to that size of the contract.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, I just don't look at it like it's win a World Series. It's the only way you justify it, right? I mean, Ichiro went to two postseason series. Tony Gwynn went to two World Series. But Tony Gwynn played in, what, three postseasons? And I think he had a 12-year stretch there. We didn't play in a single postseason series. Like, it's not necessarily about winning just the World Series. It's about going to the playoffs and consistently being a playoff threat, in my opinion.
No, absolutely. I mean, look at Mike Trout. It's been in one postseason series. Didn't win a game. Got shut out and got knocked out in three games, and that was it. So, no, to be back in the playoffs year after year, you know, as they've been, knocking the door, you know, having, you know, up 3-1 in 2016, you know, on the verge of winning a World Series. So, no, I don't consider it a waste at all just because anything can happen in the postseason. I mean, of all the talk with the Dodgers and stuff, you know, their only only World Series championship in a full season, you know, what was last year, you know, since 1988.
Bob, Tigers ace Tarek Skubal just annihilated the Guardians on Sunday. As a matter of fact, that was his first complete game of his career in the big leagues. And afterwards, he said that he actually wants more long outings. Do you think that's something the Tigers would be willing to give him, or do you think in the era of arm issues, they're going to be protective of him?
No, I think if he wants to go, you know, long, and it's more of a mindset thing, why not let him go? You know, and go away, you know, complete games like he did last time. He only threw 94 pitches. Is that like, hey, you know, he's not going to go 150 pitches or 140, but if he can get complete games, you know, you help the team so much. Like when Justin Verlander won the MVP for the Tigers, you know, I mean, he was helping the team in three different games. The one he pitched, the one before where you could blow out the bullpen, and the one after where you have a rest of bullpen. So, you know, you're affecting a lot more than just the games you start.
Bob, obviously, you know, I'll give credence to what the Yankees are doing right now, and I'll acknowledge even on the in what the Tigers are doing too, they're a great team. But it seems like the American League is just a little bit behind the National League this year. It seems like the National League has all the very best teams. How do you think we got to a spot where it feels like more teams are deeper and they're better and they're just stronger on the NL side?
Yeah, just you know, I think it's kind of a cyclical thing. But I don't remember the National League being this much stronger in the American League for quite some time. I think the AL East is the weakest it's been in decades. So, yeah, I mean, just all the big money was spent, whether it was in New York or when the Dodgers, I mean, even the Arizona Diamondbacks, I mean, they poured out a ton of money just to keep up with the Dodgers and the Giants and everything else. So, but yeah, I mean, if you're a team, you want to be in the AL these days just because the National League is so strong. I mean, NL Central is still, you know, is still weak. But, you know, the Cubs are a very good team, and the Cardinals are kind of playing on their mind right now.
Bob, looking to what has been talked about a lot, but maybe not widely understood as of yet, there's been a lot of talk about a work stoppage after this season. And some fans, like myself, who I get very frustrated with a competitive environment where there's just haves and have-nots in baseball, and it's frustrating. We're in a good spot with a situation that relatively consistently wins, but to a point, right? Because the way baseball economics go, if there is a potential work stoppage, is that the point of it, or is there another point of what could happen in a year's time or after this season?
Well, yeah, it's actually after next season, because that's when the CBA is up. So you still got 2 years of uninterrupted play. I mean, I don't foresee the players going on strike and like they did in 94, like before next year's World Series. So you got 2 years. But yeah, you know, owners are kind of complaining with each other. It's not really the players. It's the owners saying, hey, we need a closer payroll parity. They want a luxury tax, if not a salary cap. If not for a salary cap, make it more painful if you go over that threshold. Because right now it's not stopping the Dodgers or the Mets or the Yankees. They'll gladly pay it. Now, if you take away draft picks, that might be a different story. And on the flip end, the players say, wait a minute now, let's have a floor here. It shouldn't be like the Pittsburgh Pirates and Athletics and Tampa Bay making all this money and revenue sharing and not putting it back into the team.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, you mentioned the Pirates. It's a real problem in baseball when someone like Paul Skenes can be great. And whether they trade him or don't is obviously another layer of this. But the conversation for Pirates fans is, should we get rid of him now because, well, 6 years from now, he's going to be gone anyway. Kind of like what happened with the Guardians and Francisco Lindor in many ways, which just shouldn't happen.
Yeah, you can't trade Paul Skenes. You want to talk about it, 4 years from now before he's a free agent, or maybe even 3.5 years, okay, but not now. It just means way too much to the franchise, and I think the fans would just go ballistic and revolt if something like that happened. So no, you got to market him and use him and be a reason for, I want to come watch the Pirates, particularly on the days he pitches. So you remember now, all you're getting back is prospects. Remember the Red Sox trade away Mookie Betts. Is, oh, look at the return Mookie Betts. But there's nobody left in the Mookie Betts trade. It was a complete disaster for the Red Sox. How many of these prospects just never make it? So I don't see the Pirates doing that at all. It'd be years from now. I think that the fans would just go ballistic if that happened.
Bob, little birdie tells me you have a Cameo account. What kind of requests you get for your Cameo account there?
Yeah, it used to be a lot. Now it's more like fantasy type drafts, really. Like you're announcing that or birthdays, that sort of thing. So mostly that type of thing. Maybe someone's going through a hard time as far as health wise, kind of a pick me up type thing. But yeah, it's just once in a while. That's not like I ever advertise or try to do a lot of it. But yeah, just more of a fun thing.
You ever have a weird request?
Sometimes with they want me to kind of rip a team or someone's fancy thing, like, okay, you're trashing a player. So yeah, I won't do that.
You send those our way, Bob. We'll take care of that for you.
If it's a good natured thing, that's fine.
So you're too classy to do that.
Yeah, we're not
so
at all.
So what if we'll get like a finder's fee, and then you'll be like, hey, I'm very classy. I don't rip, but here's my friends Nick and Jonathan, and then we'll
I couldn't possibly, but Nick and Jonathan, they got thoughts. And you want to talk about Skenes being traded? They can do Skenes being traded.
And then you finish the video by saying thank you, Nick and Jonathan, and thank you for your patronage. And then we just, if it's $45, you get your 25. We'll take 20. How about that?
Not a bad deal. Above board. I mean, with the Paul Skenes thing, hey, that trade talk's been out there. But yeah, I just can't say, hey, they got to do it. They're complete morons, that sort of thing.
Oh, that's my favorite thing.
That's where we come in, Bob.
Yeah, that we really like, especially that M word. We're all about that M word.
That's great talk show fodder, exactly.
Bob, great stuff. Much appreciated.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Bob Nightingale there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I don't think he'll be taking us up on our offer. That was Odyssey. MLB insider Bob Nightingale. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solution for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. I think that would be, honestly, like that would be just like my highlight of my day if I could make $45 a pop.
Yeah.
And people are just
doing
like,
cameo?
Give us your take on Johnny Manziel. Let me tell you about this jerk. Well, I wouldn't call him that, of course.
I think you'd be
or
great at cameo.
Would I?
I don't. Nobody does that, but like you could totally do the, hey, we have 10 names and we need to have a fantasy football drawing and you're going to announce each one of them and then make jokes along the way.
Yeah.
You'd be great at that.
I would be willing to. I just don't think people actually want that.
Well, the worst thing is to have a cameo and then to have it exist out there and not really many people actually buy the cameo and it just kind of sits on your profile.
So, this is a great point. I would need one cameo a week to not feel like a loser.
So when people go on it, they can click on it and see like you've actually done them before. Like I clicked on Bob's and I'm like, oh, Bob's got some people that have actually done it.
Yep.
That's what you need.
I would, you know what kind of cameo I'd love?
What's that?
I'd like a spite cameo where I just tell people to like, hey, Mike, hey, yeah, your coworker, Tim, he thinks you're a chotch, and you got to stop eating his food in the refrigerator. I don't know what kind of monster you are. You're not quite a Menendez brother, but Bob, for the love of God, if you eat this man's food, I don't even remember his name, but if you eat this man's food again, I'm going to show up to your place of work with a sock filled with bricks of soap, and I will end you myself. Love you, buddy. So great to see you.
And you said love you at the end, so it's not even threatening.
Yeah.
It feels
takes
like
the sting out.
I feel like you'd be the type of person people would hire if they're like, I want to get out of this relationship. And so they're going to hire you, and then they'll be like, yeah, so Nick, you just give the details, give you why this person sucks, and then you're just going to make a video.
Hillary, you complained the entire way to and from Jamaica. We paid for everything. You kind of just lay there like a fish, like you hit the bricks, okay?
I think it really specific, though. But the real deal breaker is you didn't like Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
And if you don't like Reservoir Dogs, I don't know how I can even be with you.
It's such a good point. I don't want to break up with you if it's just, oh, it's not you, it's me. No. It is you. It's not them. And here's why.
Yeah, well, you don't hire a cameo to be like, hey, you're great. It's not you. It's me. No.
Some people would. They're outsourcing their own cowardice.
It hired you to go ahead and really just lay it down there.
Yeah.
Lay it all on the line.
God, I'd love to retire on that. 216-474-0092. We got to react to what Bob Nightingale said about your Guardians in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.